Money can't buy you love, but figuring out how to manage it might. A recent survey by the American Institute of CPAs, showed that money is the most common reason married couples fight. Another study shows that arguments about money are the most likely predictors of future divorce. So, how's your financial intimacy? Michelle Singletary writes the nationally syndicated Color of Money column for The Washington Post. She's also author of Your Money and Your Man, How You and Prince Charming Can Spend Well and Live Rich. And Michelle, your website includes a page called Love and Money, where people send in questions. What's the most common one?
I think the number one thing is that people want to know how to merge their money. Should they have his, hers, or ours, or all of the above?
Do you recommend merging?
I do. If you're married, I think it ought to be in one pot, because to me that facilitates lots, or should facilitate lots of conversation about how to handle the money. This is my 21st year of marriage, and we've had joint accounts from day one. And basically that meant we've got to talk about how we spend our money. We even have a spending limit. Like my husband, neither my husband nor myself can spend more than $200 without consulting each other.
Oh, interesting.
And that, yeah, it makes sure that we are on the same page financially. Now, I recognize that lots of couples have decided they're going to have a his and hers and ours, but that means you've got to do a lot more talking, and everything ought to be on the table. There ought not to be any secrets about what's in those accounts.
Well, for instance, here's a question from a woman who says, I'm married to a wonderful man. He has significant financial obligations to his family in his home country. He sends a huge part of his income back home to his family. She covers things like the mortgage, utilities, etc. But he's also always asking for loans to help out the family. Boy, that's always tough. This is one place where you said you should have made some sort of arrangement beforehand to figure out if there was going to be a pool of money somewhere that you could do these things out of.
Absolutely. I recommend, and my husband and I have done this, that you have a pot of money. I call it the family pot, so that that money can be used to help your extended family members. And so I honor that man who's sending money to his home, but his family, his wife, and if he has kids, should come first, and they ought to be on the same page with that. He shouldn't be spending one penny more than they both agree to.
Here's some questions from some single people. We know about wage gaps, and there are young single people maybe working for software companies, making a lot of money, others who aren't. A lot of young women want to be able to pay their own way. But what if you really can't? What if either male or female, you're not in the same income category as somebody you're starting to date?
You know, that's where you need to talk. I view dating as sort of the period before if you want to get married. You're sort of interviewing people, and the dating process is part of that interviewing thing. When I was dating my husband, we were both out of college. He moved away. He had expenses. I had expenses. And he said, listen, I can't pay for everything. We're going to probably have to split a lot of costs. You know, initially I was just like, come on. But then when you think about it, it made perfect sense. And I love that he had that frank conversation with me.
Before you buy a house, you're a young couple, how much would you recommend that young couples have in savings before they even think about taking on a mortgage?
I think when you're going to buy a house, you shouldn't have any debt. No car debt, no student loan debt, no credit card debt. Now, I understand that's crazy for a lot of people. They're thinking this woman has lost her mind. But I believe that that puts you in a better position. And so you ought to have, in addition to not having debt, at least 3 months living expenses based on that new mortgage note. In addition to savings for, like, say the heater breaks or something goes wrong in the house. So you need to do a lot of saving before you're ready to take that step into home ownership.
Well, what are some of the other situations that people ask you about that people might not think about?
Some of the scenarios are just crazy. I mean, a lot of times it's spending differences and they're just bumping heads. And then they're just not being honest with each other. You know, one spouse might say, I want to get a car. And the other spouse secretly is thinking, we really cannot afford this. And they may voice, you know, a concern, but they don't sort of put their foot down. And then the car gets bought and now the other spouse is resentful and upset.
Well, and speaking of those arguments, you recently wrote about a new book from financial coach Deborah Price. Financial coach, which is such an interesting phrase, somebody you might want to see if you are a couple. The book is called The Heart of Money, A Couple's Guide to Creating the Financial Intimacy. And she points out that while couples, the number one thing they fight about, at least according to these surveys we cited, is money, money may be a cover for something else.
Right. Most money arguments are not about the money at all. You could shower people with money and they still have issues. It's a lot of this sort of unconscious things that we have, we hold about money. You grew up poor, so now you spend a lot because you hated being poor. Or you grew up poor and you're definitely afraid of running out of money, so you become a miser. And then oftentimes when people get together, they don't talk about it. They don't talk about how they're going to handle it. What do you think about giving? They spend more time planning the wedding and the reception than they do about how they're going to handle their money together. And then all these issues from your childhood comes in. I mean, I grew up low income, so my thing is, you know, hoarding money and making sure we have enough. And so, you know, left to me, my whole house would be naked, you know, because we just wouldn't spend any money. And so we have to work through my issues so that my kids don't pay for all the things, the baggage that I bring into the marriage.
Well, this baggage, Price refers to it as your money shadows. It's a shadow. You may not even be aware of it. You give an example of a husband who has unacknowledged anger towards his wife, and he might what?
And so he might make purchases that he knows is going to make her mad because he's trying to get back at her.
It's sabotage.
It's sabotage. We do it all the time. You know, you hear people sort of joke about, oh, I bought some clothes and hid them in the trunk of my car so my husband wouldn't see. Or the husband, you know, goes out and buys something and doesn't tell the wife. Or we have situations where one person is making more than the other, so they think they get to have more say on how the money's spent.
Uh-uh.
Or we have stay-at-home moms whose husbands are like, well, I make the money. I get to make all the decisions. No, you do not.
Oh, boy, no.
That when you earn, from my perspective, when couples earn money, every dime that they each earn belongs to both of them.
Okay. Michelle Singletary, will link you up with her columns, her writing, also connected to this book that she recommends, Deborah Price's Heart of Money. And also at the Washington Post business section, there's a budget worksheet.
Yeah, and then some stories about a financial fast that I've written about. Just lots of really good materials to help you sort through.
Oh, wait,
this.
I have to ask, a financial fast?
Oh, it's so wonderful. It's a 21-day financial fast. So for 21 days, you can't spend on anything that's not a necessity, and you can't use credit. It's deep. It's hard. And I'm telling you, after the 21 days, couples come back and say, we never talked about money, but the fast forced us to talk about how we were spending right. our money.
What a romantic thing to do today, Valentine's
and
Day.
It is. Listen, when your money is right, the love is right, if you know what I'm talking about.
All right. Then. Michelle Singletary. She writes the nationally syndicated Color of Money column for the Washington Post. Michelle, thanks so much.
You're so welcome.
Okay, so wasn't she awesome? Oh, wait. I used the word awesome too much. Building a better superlative vocabulary. That's in 1 minute here and now.